98.5 The Sports Hub is Boston's home for sports. 98.5thesportshub.com is Boston's home page for sports. Add it to your bookmarks and stay in the game.
This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Line shot, and it gets Price. He's going to go to pick it up and lob on to first to get him. Got drilled by that. We'll see if he's all right. Showing no signs at the moment. Sounded nasty.
And be able to get off the mound, get that ball, and throw the run out of first base. That's pretty impressive.
He did not give away a hint of pain either.
You know me. You know, I'm the softest guy in this clubhouse. If that bothered me, I'd have been out of the game. You know, I'm soft. It wasn't painful. I'm fine. If it was painful, I'd have came out.
Ah! Do I sense sarcasm there in the party, David Price? Is that what that is? Do I sense a little bit of sarcasm? Jimmy Stewart, our producer, let's open up the phone lines right away. 617-779-0985. Here on the Baseball Reporters, Jim Murray is alongside, as always. He'll offer up his 2 cents, I'm sure, on David Price. I was actually in the ballpark yesterday. Can I just tell you quickly as an aside? I don't go to many games anymore. I did my time in the ballpark, Murray. At one time, I ran a rough estimate. I don't know. I've been to like 2,000 games or
something. Feels like walking back into Shawshank for you.
It's just like that, you know, I did my share. It was like prison time in that ballpark for chunks of it. So I don't go to that many games anymore. Holy crap, does it move slow. I don't know if I'm changing or what. I'm like more cognizant of it now than ever before. Holy crap, way too slow. Hurry up already, let's go. Good God. It blows me away that they don't do more about this. I'm one of those idiots that actually goes to watch the game, and I'm sitting there going, is something going to happen? But that aside.
Maz, drink more.
Dave, I was with my kids and my wife yesterday. I couldn't drink. I mean, not really. The Red Sox yesterday end up beating the Toronto Blue Jays 8-3, and yet the story was David Price, whom we have talked about ad nauseum on this station since he got to Boston. And yesterday, Price goes 5 innings, gets hit with a comebacker in the first inning, hits him on his bare hand, throws the guy out. The next inning, he has a little difficulty. There was a mound visit in there. He walked the first batter of the second inning on 4 pitches and then went to a full count on the second guy. Cora went out to the mound, and it was Cora, not Dana Lavangi. Which should tell you that it was a health visit, right? Cora went out and says something's wrong with my pitcher. We can't throw a strike. And then Price starts after the game when just a really nothing throwaway question of were you hurt on that ball hit back to you? How did it affect you? And he gives that answer. And Jimmy, let's play it again if you would. And I know there's a longer version of it, of this sort of whole exchange as well. And which Price just gets downright sort of, you know, I say flippant and sarcastic, and clearly has got rabbit ears again about people talking about the fact that he is easily distracted and drawn off the rails. Here he is.
Did that bother you enough, the shot that you did? You touched off the forearm there, did it bother you the rest of the stuff?
No. You know me. You know, I'm the softest guy in this clubhouse. If that bothered me, I'd have been out of the game. You know, it's I'm soft.
How painful?
It wasn't painful. I'm fine. If it was painful, I'd have came out.
I mean, what is... I say this in all seriousness, Murray. All seriousness. Because Price is an easy guy to pick on. The sound bites, your invitations. He gives us great fodder. He does. And as the highest paid guy on the team, there's a bullseye that comes with that as it is. The postseason failures, all of that. So David Price does. He gives us a lot of ammunition. And he would anyway, even if he didn't open his mouth. But when I hear a comment like the one he made yesterday, after everything that's happened here in the early part of the year, and remember when he missed the game with the Yankees that started this whole sequence and he talked about the cold weather, he's the one that said it was frustrating. He's the one that said it could have been Game 7 of the World Series. He's the one that said all of that stuff. And I thought at the time he showed a pretty good level of honesty about how frustrated he was with the whole thing. Then we had the issue with the allergies and the video games, and he drew more criticism, and frankly became a bit of a punchline because he brings all of it on himself. So then all this sarcasm yesterday, and I look at it and I say, dude, in all seriousness, okay, all talk radio hyperbole aside, what's your problem? What is your problem? Boston's not that bad. Your life is not that bad. You're making $31 million a year. You're playing in a place where people care instead of some of the other godforsaken places you've played in. And you have a chance, a legit chance, to win a World Series. Nobody was talking about you again after this last series of starts. And in the last four starts, David Price has been better. The Red Sox have won each of his last four starts. He's 3-0 during that span, and his ERA in those games is under 3. Now, I don't think he's pitched necessarily all that well in some of those games, but he had one great one in there. We pitched a complete game against the Orioles, and he's beaten bad competition. But nonetheless, we were off his back. Everyone was off this guy's back. And then he decides to play the martyr yesterday. His talent is such a burden to him. It is such a burden to him. You don't know what it's like to be me. All the things that people expect from me. And my answer would be, yep, exactly. What's that old phrase? Much is expected to whom much is given, or you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. Right? Something like that. Would you rather just be another guy, like picking up garbage? Would you rather be that? Because there's plenty of regular jobs out there. You can retire and give up the contract right now. It drives you bananas.
Or would you just rather be a schlub like Drew Pomeranz, who doesn't have the talent that you do? It almost feels like he'd almost rather be anonymous in a lot of ways. But it's clear that he's harboring some real resentment for every slight that he perceives, whether it's online or listening to sports talk radio or whatever it is.
I mean, really, again, and I say this from my heart. Okay, I'm not saying this as a talk show host. I'm saying this as a human being. What's your problem? It's not that bad, pal. It's really not that bad. However bad you think it is, it's not that bad. Stop making yourself out to be a victim all the time. Boy, is this guy irritating. Everyone was off his back. Just pitch, and I'll give you a tip. Okay, I'll give you a tip. When you screw up, you say, I expect more out of myself, and don't expect sympathy from other people. You're not going to get it. So when a play like yesterday happens, you say, well, you know, look, it stung, but it goes away. It's happened to me before. No big deal. I'll make the play. Just treat everything as a common occurrence instead of some sort of dramatic incident. The media will treat everything as a dramatic incident. That's what we do. Your job is to sort of just look at it and say, no, it'll be fine. I'm okay. I appreciate you asking. Just play along. Stop trying to be so heartfelt all the time. God, that's annoying. Again, the story was dead, and the team, by the way, is playing well again, or I should say is winning again. They're 20 games over 500, tying a season high. They were 20 games over 500 a couple of days ago. And right now, yesterday marked a third of the season is now officially complete. And I actually put more stock in this than I do in the quarter mile post. You know, we say they play 40 games and they played a third. The thirds matter, and they've always mattered. Baseball used to operate under the premise that you'd get to the middle of May, 6 weeks, and you could make a judgment on what your team was. Then that sort of changed under the whole Moneyball philosophy, and it was a third of the season. You get to Memorial Day, you've played 54 games. Now it's a third of the season to see what you got. You've got a third of the season to fix it, and then a third of the season to make a run into the playoffs. Well, after the first third of the season, the Red Sox are 37-17, 20 games over 500. They are on pace for 111 victories. 111 wins, which honestly I think the number is inflated because the league is so bad. But I look at that and I say 37-17. In other years where the Red Sox have gone 37-17, I would be ecstatic. So why do I look at this team this year and feel like they're not good enough? They're on a, and when I say not good enough, I'm not saying they can't get to that point. because I think they need some help in certain areas. But as constituted right now, I think they're a little short. I don't think they're quite good enough to win a World Series. And they're on a 111 win pace. So am I just an idiot? Or am I a negative idiot? And do you agree with me? 617-779-0985. I want to get to Jackie Bradley's defense. He made an absolutely phenomenal catch yesterday at Fenway Park. And whether the trade-off with Bradley of offense versus defense is worth it. And then later in the program, also we will do, as I said, as we do every Tuesday in the last segment of the show, we will do trivia in hopes of giving away both a $100 gift card and a chance to see Boston play New York in September. We'll give you a trip down there, a couple of train tickets, tickets to the game, a one-night hotel stay. It's a good trip, a good chance for you to win something good here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. We will do all of that when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
High fly ball. That's well hit. Jackie Bradley racing back to the triangle. Still backing up. Leaps up. What a catch! Jackie Bradley to the deepest part of Fenway, and he had no business making that play.
Oh my goodness, what a play by Bradley, and a smile on the face of Henry, and there should be. Tips of the cap, the Red Sox dugout. Can he play some center field or what? He's going back to the 420, never takes his eye off the baseball, makes the catch, crashes into the padding, fortunately for him. What a play.
Gorgeous.
Did you see this catch yesterday by Jackie Bradley, Murray? Did you see this?
Yep, neat.
Jimmy Stewart, did you?
I'm tired of the, oh, we need his defense, his glove. You've never seen catches like this. I've seen catches like this.
Yeah, Murray, do me a favor. Since you're so against it, look up his batting average if you could while I ask Jimmy if he saw the catch. Jimmy, did you see the catch?
I saw it and I went, neat. You know why? Because the advanced metrics told me that there was a 71% chance of him making that play. So, neat.
Okay, so I'm going to get to Jackie Bradley's defense and the great dilemma of Bradley's defense versus his offense and what the real value is. Okay, we'll get to that, but I
You're starting to heat up, Tony, offensively.
I do want to take a couple of your calls on David Price, but Murray, quickly, what's he hitting now? 180?
184, man.
184, ooh, higher than I thought. Oh, he's close to his weight now. Brian is in a car. Brian, what do you got?
Hey, Matt. So with David Price making $31 million, do you see him opting out even though, you know, he hates it here?
No, I don't.
Going after the money.
Brian, I don't see him opting out. Let me just ask you quickly, do you?
As much as he hates it, I see him going after the money, no matter how much he hates it here.
Okay, so look, this is wishful thinking now on the part of Red Sox fans, if you ask me. And I understand you're all looking for a nice happy ending and a way for this to all go away, that at the end of the year, David Price will opt out of the contract, he'll hit the free agent market, and he'll go somewhere else, purely because he hates it in Boston so much. And for all I know, you might be right. I have no idea what David Price is thinking when he goes home at night. But I would highly doubt it. Highly. Strongly. Strongly doubt it. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen. David Price, at the end of the year, is going to, even if he makes noise about it during the season, his agent or the union or whoever is going to tell him, you can't do this. You cannot walk away from $127 or $128 million, whatever it is over the final 4 years of the contract. You can't do it. We're not going to let you do it. And I think they actually told him that last offseason, that, hey, look, you had an opt-out in this deal, but you now have a bad elbow. This is part of the reason why Price came in with a good attitude this spring, because he was going to have to try to make it work. He knew that in all probability he was going to be stuck here for the balance of his career, or balance of his contract. The balance of his contract. And I would say overall, he got off to a pretty good start. And then stuff started happening, and now all of a sudden it's you guys are the enemy. How do you not appreciate me? Whoa, my life is this awful burden, and my skill and my talent are this awful burden in a place like Boston. I would just tell David, dude, just pitch. Just pitch. Bruce is in Woodstock, Connecticut. Go ahead, Bruce.
today, man, is I just called to agree with you wholeheartedly. I think you're a negative idiot.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you, Bruce. We can drop him. Being a wise ass, I thought he was going to agree with me on David Price. The Price thing has reached a point again where just you just want to smash your head against the wall. Like really, when you look at it, should I not have dropped that guy Murray? Now I'm starting to feel bad about it.
The connection was terrible anyway. Never feel bad.
So I was going to put him on hold.
Callers,
I was going to put him on hold, but it just occurred to me he may have just merely been disagreeing with me about. My assessment of the Red Sox after
all. Stop dwelling about it. Go.
I'm not dwelling on it. The Red Sox are on pace to win 111 games. Why do I think that they're flawed? Like it doesn't seem logical to me that a team could be on pace to win 111 games and yet I look at them and I say they're not good enough.
No, because they keep making a lot of stupid mistakes, especially on the base pass. I think you were right to get on Andrew Benintendi, but it's quick to for people to go on to get after you right now because he's been hot at the plate, but he's still kind of foolish on the base pass and defensively. A lot of their starters leave a lot to be desired. Do you really trust Drew Pomeranz going forward or even Rick Porcello in his last, five starts? He's looked awful.
No, and this is a sneaky problem that's developing on the team, is that if Price goes, and I don't want to say belly up, but if Price is just mediocre for them, they don't have anyone to pitch behind Sale. I don't think. I mean, and their bullpen's not good enough to piece it. And this is part of the reason why I look at them and I say they're on 111 win pace. But do you really trust their relievers in a good situation or big situation?
No.
So, for example, I was looking it up today. Where the Red Sox relievers rank in the American League in terms of losses. Because bullpen losses, to me, are an important stat. Those are games that you're leading in the late innings. And if your bullpen's credited with a loss, that means you either blew a lead or was a tie game that you didn't win. Either way. Typically, the teams that do well have very few bullpen losses. The Red Sox are tied for second fewest in the league, which surprised me. And then I thought about it and I said, well, that's because the league stinks. Because their bullpen's not good, or at least it's not good against good teams. So I looked it up against the Yankees, because they really haven't faced anyone all that good in a close game other than the Yankees. Against the Yankees this year, they have had 21 relief outings, which is to say anytime someone comes in from the bullpen, that's a relief outing. Okay, 21 relief outings against the Yankees. Roughly half of those were in Boston, half of those were in New York. Do you know how many of those were clean outings? And by clean outings, I mean no hit, no walk. A reliever came in and gave you a perfect inning. Out of 21 relief outings against the Yankees, how many times do you think the Red Sox gave a Red Sox reliever gave manager Alex Cora a clean outing?
Two.
And not even a full inning. Okay, that is, if a guy came in to get one batter, okay, out of 21 times, how many would you guess?
About two.
Okay, the answer is five. But your two is closer to the truth, Murray. Because of those five, two of them were a third of an inning. Joe Kelly on April 11th and Carson Smith on May 8th. Came in to get one batter, got him, and left the game. Okay, one batter. Another one was Brian Johnson came into a blowout and got a scoreless inning out of it. The Red Sox lost that game 9-6. So in terms of meaningful innings, meaningful outs.
That Brian Johnson one's fake. You can't count that.
So the only ones you can really count are Craig Kimbrel outings. One was Craig Kimbrel on May 10th. That was a save. And on April 12th, Kimbrel, that was a save. Kimbrel had perfect innings in both of those games. Of course, in one of his games, he blew a save, too. That's a different story. But Kimbrel hasn't been perfect against the Yankees either. So again, 21 relief outings. The Red Sox have only had five occasions where a guy came in from the bullpen and did not allow a base runner. And two of them were Kimbrel. The other three, two lasted a third of an inning, and the other one was Brian Johnson in a blowout. So you tell me, other than Kimbrel, who do you trust in that Red Sox bullpen? And that, to me, is why I look at them and I say, 111 wins, I don't care about the pace. They're still not good enough. Mike is in Cranston. Go ahead, Mike.
Antonio, I totally agree with that assessment. But anyway, hey, as far as Hilly Ramirez, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm calling it like I told the producer. I'm calling it. Hanley's going to Tampa. Tampa's going to claim him. Because the exceptional TV ratings they have, He'd be he's a $500,000 player for them. I see a perfect fit, and if I'm not mistaken, they'd have first dibs. He's not going to go National League team.
Okay, but so, Mike, does that worry you?
It does. Yeah, it does.
Why?
Yeah. Well, because he's going to stick it in our, you know what? And he's going to stay in the East because Baltimore or somebody's going to take a dib on him. And the Yankees certainly, I don't think he's going to get there. I think he's going to be actually a coveted player.
Okay, so look, he might be coveted. I mean, it's not a bad theory that a team like Tampa would take a flyer on him because the money's so low. But my point is, Tampa's no real threat to you. I know you have to play them a lot in the division, although they've already played Tampa how many series? 3 or 4. Like, so they don't have that many games left with Tampa anyway.
And Tampa just sold off more players. They sold off their closer and their starting outfielder.
Okay, but his point is that Hanley's cheap. So you're really only paying, what, 2/3 of...
No, he's going to the Yankees because they have Neil Walker at first base.
Okay, so this concerns me more is that Hanley ends up with a team that's a contender. Then he could stick it in your ear. If he ends up with Tampa, I'm not all that worried about it. Alex is in a car. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if you said it, but basically you play Tampa Bay 50 times, Baltimore 50 times. I mean, that's going to stop very shortly. And, you know, you're going to have to play some Central Division teams, West Coast teams. So, you know, we're going to start to lose. We're not going to get 111 wins.
Okay, so look, Alex, I'm not sure they're going to get to 111 either. I'm just telling you they're 20 games over 500, and they don't feel like a team that's 20 games over 500 to me. That's all. That's really how I look at it. If you know, a team that's that many games over, a team that's on 111-win pace, like I look at the Astros, who I think have one fewer win than the Red Sox do, and I look at Houston and say, now that team's a wagon. That team feels like a 110-win team. Or even the Yankees, I would say, feel like a team that's going to win in excess of 100 games. But the Red Sox, I've watched them play for 54 games. They're good. But they don't feel like a 111-win team to me, and they don't feel as good as the other two, even though they have the best record in baseball. And so I find that to be curious. That's all. Jim Murray's Get Your Headlines when we come back. I want to get to, again, Jackie Bradley's defense, which we didn't do in this segment. How much is it really worth? A catch like the one he made yesterday? Is that the kind of play that makes Jackie Bradley's 184 batting average worth it? We'll examine that next.
The Baseball Reporters on 88.5 The Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
You're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We don't let the circumstances around the team dictate who we are. It hasn't happened, but I read, I listen, I know what's going on. But one thing I like them to be is genuine. There's nothing wrong with that. Throughout the years that I remember, there's been a lot of genuine players in this organization. There's nothing wrong with being honest. That's something we talk about it, you know, be genuine, responsible, and honest, or transparent. So I'm good with it.
That's Alex Cora at Fenway Park just a short time ago and asked about David Price's comments after the game yesterday. And for those of you who did not hear them, again, Price after the game was very sarcastic, asked about a ball hit back to the mound that hit him in the hand and whether or not it hurt. Price went off on this, you know, little tangent saying, oh, no, I'm soft. You know, I can't even lead the game. Jimmy, do we have the cut about him talking about him saying that he'd rather be out on the mound, blowing out his arm than coming out of the game?
Oh, yeah. No one coming out of the game. I can't. I'd rather blow out there than come out. So that's where we're at.
I mean, just that line right there, I'd rather blow out there than come out, meaning I'd rather blow up my elbow. So it's reached the point, this is Price now, Price saying it has reached the point where you guys think I'm soft, so you know what? I'm going to stay out on the mound just to spite you, and if I blow out my arm, it's on you.
That's exactly what it is. You can't listen to that and think, especially with his track record, that, oh, wow, he's just trying to show how tough he is. It's not that at all. He's saying that out of spite and saying, hey, you know, there's part of me that hopes I get hurt while I'm out there. See? Screw you. I'll show you how tough I am. Like, how does that... What kind of service does that do to your team and your teammates? If you feel anything, you better speak the hell up.
So again, this is his way of like, it's my burden that I have to deal with this.
Right.
Right? And so, but then Cora makes the comment he made, Murray, that he wants his guys to be honest. Is that always the best policy? Like, my point is this. If David Price is so sensitive that he sounds like a baby, then he needs to lie. That's what I'm saying. Don't. And I respect the fact that Cora says be transparent, be honest. But if you're
to a point,
if your feelings are hurt all the time, someone says something about you, whether it's warranted or not, eventually people are going to look at you and say, "Would you stop being a baby?" So here's what I would say to my players: accept responsibility for your actions, don't whine, and don't complain. And that, really, it's that if. You know, I remember years ago when David Cone played his one season with the Red Sox, he said, you know, my experience was the media really just wanted two things, accessibility and accountability. And if I did that, it worked fine. I was there to talk, and I accepted responsibility for my actions. End of story. He didn't really have that many problems, at least not later in his career. Maybe he had to learn that, too. This guy's a veteran guy. He really feels like just a big baby. Just accept the reality. It's not a perfect world. Chris is in the car. Chris, go.
Yeah, I just don't understand how at 32, nobody has explained how life in the media works to this guy. But, I mean, how much do you think he is willing to eat? Because this clearly is eating him up. He can't deal with it. So how much is he willing to eat to take the opt-out and get picked up somewhere else? Because I agree with Duggar. He will get picked up.
So, Chris, I'll tell you what. Given how sensitive Price is, I wonder whether or not he would opt out just to leave. But I don't think anyone's going to let him. I don't think his agent will let him. I don't think the players' union will let him. And so he can kick and scream all he wants, but he's not giving up $128 million or whatever it is in the final 4 years, 127, I think it is. He is not giving up that amount of money and leaving. Okay, the union won't allow it. I'm telling you, the union would sit him down and talk sense into him, and they would try to like beat him over the head and not let him leave. He's going to get big-time resistance, whether he wants to do it or not. Dan's in a car. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, Maz, I got some breaking news for you on Hanley. Well, not breaking, but insider information. I know you're not going to believe me, but that's okay.
Okay, hold on before you go on. If this is at all anything speculative about his personal life, or I'll leave it at that. I really don't want to. Okay,
he's
go.
Retiring. That's it.
Okay, Hanley's going to retire. That's what you say?
Yep, I'll call you back next week to tell you told you so, all right?
Okay, there you go. Well, that's not that big of a stretch. I mean, again, if there aren't that many teams out there that want Hanley or any good ones, what else is he going to do? Why are you looking at me like that, Murray?
Oh, no, I didn't know you were going to go with this because, you know, I heard something from a source who has given me stuff before where it's typically pretty good.
Yeah.
And I know Jimmy heard something, too.
Yeah, I heard
weekend.
Something, too.
Yeah, I don't know that we want to go down that road just yet.
Yeah, no, I know we can't go down that road just yet.
Okay, so if it happens, we will...
We'll tell you we told you so, but we didn't tell you so.
Yeah, I just think that... I mean, you guys have told me, so I know what it is. But I don't think we should go there on the air.
Yeah.
Is it Siri or Sri in Reading?
Yeah, Sri in the car.
Sri, what do you got?
So, a couple of things. One is I think that, you know, the Yankees are most likely going to throw a flyer on Hanley and see if they can get anything out of him. And the second point was that it's a minor point, but 37-17 is 10 games over 500, not 20.
No, it's 20, actually, and I'm not going to do this math with people every time. Okay, the games over 500 mean the number of games you need to lose to get back to 500. I know what you're saying, that if you take 10 wins and turn them into 10 losses, that's 20, and now you're a 500 team. Okay, I'm telling you, in baseball lexicon, that's 20 games over 500. Oh, I hate when people do this. Drives me absolutely batty. Yeah, I forgot to get back to the Jackie Bradley point. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Jackie Bradley's offense versus his defense. Is it really worth it?
His defense is overrated. He sucks at the plate. There we go.
Okay.
I especially like that error he made in right field on Chris Sale Day.
See, Murray, I generally agree with you, but I need to milk that for longer than 10 seconds.
I know.
So just the way it goes. Especially now, we get into the dog days of the season. Okay, right now, the first five callers to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You will have the chance to participate in Trivia Tuesday, the dumbed-down version of Trivia Tuesday. If you can answer three relatively easy baseball questions correctly, you will score a $100 gift card for Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill, and you'll be automatically entered for an overnight trip to see Boston play in New York in September. You'll get round-trip train tickets, tickets to the game. You will get a night's hotel stay. It's a pretty good get. So at the very least, you get a $100 gift card, and you get entered into a drawing. Again, that's a contest line. 617-931-0985. And we've dumbed down the questions to make it easy for you. Heaven knows. We've really, in any case, we'll do that next.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Trivia Tuesday on the Baseball
Trivia
Reporter.
Tuesday.
This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Mazzarotti.
Okay, you know the drill. You know the drill. You get to answer three questions in a row correctly, okay?
And these are supposedly easier questions, Mass?
Well, I've tried to dumb them down, Murray, because, again, we underestimated the stupidity of the listener and the participant.
There's been some doozies.
So, last week, for example, the Red Sox played their first exhibition game at Fenway Park against a local college team. Now, the Red Sox, again, the color of the Sox are red or... I don't know. Carmine was a color that was once...
That's the computer.
Okay. Crimson. So crimson is a color, Murray?
Alabama.
Roll tide on that.
The caller guessed Alabama. The correct answer was obviously...
Harvard.
Harvard. Correct. So here's the deal. Three questions in a row. If you get them in a row, you will get, again, a $100 gift card to Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill, and you'll be entered to win a trip to see Boston play New York in September. As soon as you get one wrong, you're out. We move on to the next guy, and it's a max of five callers. Once someone gets it right, that night, that week's contest is over. Okay, so we started tonight with Kevin, who is in Gardner. Kevin, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, here you go. First question. Who managed the Red Sox between Terry Francona and John Farrell?
Bobby Valentine.
Bobby Valentine is correct. Good job. Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate that. Okay, second question for you. You ready?
Ready.
Spell Bogarts.
B-O-E-G-A-R-T-S.
That is incorrect. Okay, Kevin, listen, thanks for playing.
I think those spell ones might be a little difficult, Mass. Yeah, that's a big ask.
It's in the paper every day, Murray. All you have to do is Google it. Like, it's online every day.
I think you're better off asking spell Mo Vaughn, just Mo.
Okay, Dan is in the car. Dan, are you there?
M-O-W.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, here you go. Again, I'm trying to make it easy on you here, so forgive me.
Please.
Okay.
Please.
In 1988, the Red Sox fired manager John McNamara at midseason at the All-Star break, and they replaced him with Joe Morgan. The team then went on to win its next 12 games and 19 out of 20, and they made the playoffs. But during the hot streak, we here in Boston gave it a nickname. It was called Morgan what?
Magic.
Magic is good. That's right. Very good. You get that one right. Absolutely. Good job. Okay. Next question. This one's a little... I'll give you one you should be able to get. In 1997, Major League Baseball retired the number 42 in honor of Jackie Robinson. So every team was no longer allowed to give out number 42. Who was the last Red Sox player to wear number 42?
I'm stumped on that one.
5 seconds. Okay, we're going to let you go. I can't give you the answer. That one's not that hard, right?
It had to have been Butch Husky, right?
I mean, that one's not that hard, right? Am I right?
I'm not sure I know.
Oh, Jesus, Murray. Oh, God. Ricky's in Somerville. Ricky, you there?
Hey, what's up, Tony?
Okay. Let's go with...
Throw me a few softballs.
Okay, I'm trying to make them easy on
just,
here.
You give him a hard one.
Okay.
Oh, come on, Murray. Relax.
Which player and Hall of Famer who also has his number retired by the franchise has played the most opening day games for the Red Sox? Is it Kyle Yastrzemski, Steve Lyons, or Tim Wakefield?
Okay. What was the first one you said? Yastrzemski, right? Yeah, I'll take Yastrzemski.
Okay, there you go. Yes is correct. Very good. Okay, next question.
You said Steve Lyons. Forgive me. That's why I laughed. I was like,
all right,
on.
No problem. Okay, second question. In 1975, the Red Sox had a pair of rookies named the Gold Dust Twins. We asked this question in part last week. One of them was Fred Lynn. Who was the other?
Jim Rice.
Very good. There you go. Excellent.
Hey,
nice
I
job.
I was born in 83, just for a, you know, a preface on that. I had a
yeah.
knew that one.
Okay, good. No offense. I don't care. Okay, third. Excluding David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez. Excluding Ortiz and Ramirez. Who is the last Red Sox player to hit 40 home runs in a season?
Jacoby Ellsbury?
Jacoby Ellsbury is incorrect. That is not a horrible guess, though, Ricky. He did hit 30 one year. It's not a horrible guess. Sean is in Newington, Connecticut. You're our fourth contestant. Sean, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. There are two pitchers who share the Red Sox record for career victories. One of them is Roger Clemens. The other is a pitcher for whom a major pitching award is named. Who is he?
That would be Cy Young.
Very good. There you go. Cy Young is correct. Excellent. Good job. Okay. Your next question. There are, other than Jackie Robinson, I gave you a retired number question a little while ago. Other than Jackie Robinson, there are 10 numbers retired by the Red Sox in their history, and they're on the facade in right field at Fenway Park. Give me three of them.
1, 4, and 9.
Okay, but I'm sorry. Give me the players. Those numbers are correct. Give me the players that they retired for.
1 is Bobby Dorr, 4 is Joe Cronin, 9 is Ted Williams.
Very good. You got that right. Absolutely right. Okay, third and final question. In 1990, the Red Sox clinched the division on the final day of the season with a win over the Chicago White Sox. The game ended with a dramatic diving catch in the right field corner by this Red Sox outfielder. Name him.
Tom Brunansky.
Very good. Yay. There you go. All right, we got a winner. All right, Sean in Newington, Connecticut. Sean, stay on the line. Matt back there. Matt, the intern back there, or Billy Lanny, someone will take your information. You get a $100 gift card for Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill, and you'll automatically be entered in the drawing for the trip in September. Quickly, I need to mention, the big matchup of the game is brought to you by Big Y World Class Market, Rick Porcello against the Blue Jays, Justin Smoke, 3 home runs career, keep an eye on him. Josh Donaldson's got a 308 career number against Porcello, and Marco Estrada for the Jays. It's a good night for Dustin Pedroia to get his first hit of the season. Pedroia's 452 average career against Estrada.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.